Hi, I'm Sookie.
And I'm Claire.
Welcome to Getting Psychic, where you can listen to us use ourselves to test the theory that anyone can get psychic. It's Sookie here. Welcome to Getting Psychic. I'm doing another solo interview. I miss Claire a lot, and this one goes out to her. I'm here today with Dana Avery. Dana describes herself as a highly sensitive, deeply introverted, postmenopausal, space-holding old soul, a receiver of downloads, knower of unknowns, wormhole traveler, seer, conduit, ancient witch, crone, hag, priestess, goddess. Dana is also a certified spiritual response therapy practitioner, and I can't wait to explore how SRT works and what it does. But first, I want to say hello and welcome, Dana.
Hello, Sookie. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you're here. I wanted to get a bit of background info. So, Dana, first I need to know, do you believe that anyone can be psychic?
I believe everyone is psychic. Yeah, this whole notion that we have to get there, I think, is what gets in people's way. It's more of getting rid of the things that keep us from the natural gift of being psychic. So clearing the blocks, karmic conditioning, getting rid of any energies, any belief systems, perceptions, judgments that we hold that keep us from our natural psychic ability.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So I actually, when we talked earlier and I asked you kind of asked you how you wanted to be introduced, and then you just said the list of things that I listed. I loved it, and I thought it's so interesting how we see ourselves. But I did want to ask you, I love that you acknowledge postmenopausal in your self-evaluation, and I want to know why you think that's important.
That's a good question. I think it is a deeply transformational, extremely powerful time in a woman's life once she goes through menopause. And, you know, when your estrogen goes away and the need to like take care of everybody and be present for everybody else and give, sort of fades into the background. You come into your own in a way that it's so personal. But it's incredibly powerful. I think that women come into their power in postmenopause. And, you know, it comes with all kinds of other things that aren't necessarily enjoyable. But the wisdom and the power and the knowing that comes with menopause, it's beautiful and divine. And I tell all my girls, and I know it's in the mainstream, like everyone's talking about it now, right? All these women, there's Maria Shriver and Oprah, and all the ladies are talking about it now. But it wasn't always that way. And thank God it is now.
I don't think it's ever enough.
No, agreed. But I tell my women, like, there are amazing gifts in this. And so while it might be scary and painful and full of rage and doubt and darkness for a little while, you're going to come out on the other side of that. And there's going to be these incredible gifts that come to you and that sprout from within you that you didn't know you were capable of.
That's awesome. That's super empowering and beautiful. Can you pinpoint any gifts that you think unfolded as a result of menopause?
So I went through menopause at 40.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was like overnight. My boyfriend at the time got a vasectomy and I never had a period again.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then my world sort of crumbled. That relationship ended and the place where I was living became unlivable and everything changed. And there was like a clearing out and a very, very dark night of the soul that I went through at that time. And as anyone who's gone through the dark night of the soul will tell you, you know, transcendence to the other side is not a fun place to be. You're like in the corner in the fetal position, you know, with tears streaming down your face. But the gifts that come from that are when you slough off who you thought you were, who you were. It's not like you were living in a delusional state, but you become someone different, much like when you go through puberty, right? You were a little girl and you go through puberty, and then there's this transition into young adulthood, and you know, the maiden, mother, queen, crone cycle, every single one of those comes with incredible, powerful gifts. So just the main thing was, I think that sexuality is a doorway to an ethereal place, and that we can get a glimpse of the divine when we're in the throes of sexual ecstasy. And I spent my late teens and 20s and 30s seeking that experience out. I was, you know, long-term relationships with wonderful people who I loved very much, and also some not very long-term relationships. And I had a lot of fun in my youth. So I fully took advantage of the estrogen that was the blessings of estrogen.
Yeah.
And when that waned, and then really overnight, I went through menopause at 40. That was a shock to my system to not be led around. I mean, if I was a man, they would say I was led around by my dick. To not be led around in that specific way. When I went through menopause, of course I was forced to really evaluate who I was and what my driving force was and what was really the underlying impetus for my life going forward. And so I always had a connection to nature. I mean, all around me are walkabout treasures and sticks and stones and feathers. And so I have found those magical connections in that way. And when I got past having all the fun that I did with my estrogen, I sort of found my way back to that youthful way of finding magic in the world. And that is through nature and all of the divine magical gifts that come from that realm. But I've also, like, I've always seen things, sensed things, felt things, heard things. You know, told I had an overactive imagination.
Mm-hmm.
From the time I can remember, I used to lay in the grass and stare at the clouds for hours and see rifts and in glimpses maybe into other dimensions. That, of course, as a young person, you think, oh, do I have a brain tumor? Am I losing my mind? What is happening to me? But
yeah,
there's always been a connection to the other side. So the gifts that come with menopause, a knowing of self, a transmutation of some rage that comes to the fore and that you have to process, or I did anyway, and a sense that I am a whole entity, even though I've never been married and I've never given birth to any children.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So you disconnected from your vagina and reconnected with nature. That's fucking awesome.
Yes. It was a short step.
Wow.
They're so similar.
Yeah. Thank you for that. That was really awesome. Okay. So you mentioned your witch, crone, hag, goddess forms. Have you had access to past lives where you experienced these forms? Or do you just identify with all of them as a complex individual?
So I'm 54, and my friends who are older say, oh, you haven't earned the title of crone or hag quite yet. You're too young for that.
They're not ready to share that with you.
No, not ready to welcome me into that particular coven. But having gone through menopause so early and being 15 years into menopause, it does feel like I have gotten to that place. Whatever that means, right? It's all the fluid relative thing. I think it's more about tapping into and believing in this inner knowing. And the sense of self that you get in your elderhood. You know, you hear people tell stories about, oh my God, my grandma used to be this sweet, sweet lady. And then she turned into this sort of mean, cranky old broad. Like, what happened to grandma? And you know what? That's just her inner hag fully coming to the fore and being unapologetic and full frontal and on full display without remorse or apology.
That's a wonderful thing.
It feels wonderful when you get there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So before we discuss SRT and how it works, I would love to discuss the early experiences that you've had and how you got to where you are today. What was your earliest psychic experience or experience with another realm that you can remember?
I mean, when I was really, really little, 2, 3, I was always aware of this dark man. Who I would see like in dark hallways or around dark corners. And I was very scared of him. So I think that was the first awareness that I had that I could see something that no one else could.
Was it this in your house or was this everywhere you went?
So in my 40s, and that's a big leap. Obviously, a lot happened between then and there that got me to that place. But I ended up working with a shamanic practitioner who was able to release this dark man who was with me for lifetimes. And who I had an entire lifetime with that was very, very scary and very, very awful. And
so he was just attached to you.
He was an entity, a dark entity who was attached to me throughout lifetimes, like feeding off my life force. Yeah. So he's the first thing that I remember. But I also remember fairies and sprites. And when I was maybe 7 or 8, I thought it was a gargoyle that lived outside my window at night who was there to protect me. That's what I called it. But of course, you know, your parents were like, oh, it's ridiculous. It's your imagination. There are no monsters. There are no things. But I've seen things and sensed things and felt things as long as I can remember.
Cool.
I know when people are going to call. I know when people are, the next words people are going to say. I'm constantly filling in the end of people's sentences. I don't do that anymore. Is this obnoxious?
Just to not be annoying.
Right. Like, oh, I know everything you're about to say. Just get it out of your face. No. Yeah. I don't know. Does that answer that question?
Yeah, totally. That was your earliest recollection. I want to really dig into SRT and how it works. Are there connecting fibers in your journey that got you from being an intuitive child that saw things to, like, what formed the bridge for your current work?
Okay. When I was little, I had a lot of sinus problems. I had sinus surgery when I was like 2. And the only thing that really helped me after that was going to the chiropractor. So I've gone to the chiropractor as long as I can remember. And so I had this great dental hygienist who referred me to her chiropractor. And I went to this chiropractor. She was amazing. I loved her.
Yeah.
But I would go in like all bebopping and in a great mood and be like, yeah, I feel pretty good. Except, you know, I got this thing in my neck because I've been in a lot of accidents over the years. If we could just, you know, do that thing. And she would adjust me and hit these places and I would start sobbing.
Wow.
And so she was, you know, releasing some embedded trauma in the body.
Yeah.
And I would be like, I don't know where this is coming from. I felt so, you know, it was these, just one of those. And
wow.
And she, after a couple times of that happening, she was like, so, would you interested in maybe being referred to another type of healer? And I was like, yes, please.
Oh my God.
So she referred me to an energetic healer who did emotion code. I didn't know that it was emotion code.
Okay.
And I still am not really familiar with what that is totally. So it was all virtual. This woman did a whole bunch of clearings with me and completely shifted. After several clearings with that worker, she actually had found Jude Lynch and had an incredible session with her. And she was like, oh my gosh, you should check this lady out. So I found Judea through her site and scheduled a session that was like months and months out. And
yeah,
in the meantime, a shamanic practitioner was placed in my path. I worked with her and she was able to identify and remove the dark entity that I'd seen my whole life, who was a part of my everyday.
Yeah.
And that was an incredible transformation. It was life-changing.
Wow.
As a result of that, once he was out of the way, like things accelerated in a really incredible way. And my clearings got a lot like quicker and much more meaningful, much more impactful.
When you say clearings, do you mean with emotion code?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that's what she was doing. You know, like she was just like doing muscle testing and like doing all this stuff. And most of it was happening via distance. So I wasn't there to see it.
Yeah.
Then I started having these dreams where, you know, that beautiful place between asleep and awake where all the magic happens.
Crazy stuff happens.
I know, it's amazing. I started seeing in that moment, right before I would open my eyes, as I went from unconscious to conscious, I started seeing these symbols. And they looked like, you know, when you're little kid on 4th of July and you play with a sparkler and you make those trails and stuff.
Yeah.
They looked like that. They were light and there was sparks coming off of them, but they were very clearly different types of symbols. And I was like, oh my God, am I having a stroke? What is happening to me?
Wow.
And then, you know, the algorithm did what it does. And of course, within a couple of weeks, I saw one during a Google search for something completely different and random. I was like, oh my God, that's one of those symbols that I've been seeing. And I looked it up and they're light codes.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, what?
Can you explain to our audience really quick what a light code is?
I mean, basically light codes are downloaded transmissions from source that are healing frequencies that can come through language or symbols. Yeah, I think that's pretty much the gist of it. Yeah.
And you can utilize them in healing work, right? Like if you place a light code, for example.
Right. So I have a few books of light codes now after that experience. And yeah, you can place your hand on a light code and ask for that healing frequency to be applied to your body or energy bodies. If you listen to someone who can speak the light language, you know, you can take that in through your senses and it gets applied to you. So,
okay.
So that was really cool.
Incredible. So what did you do after you realized you were seeing light codes?
So I've got a bunch of books, you know, I've just, then I took a trip around a medicine wheel with a woman who does a class and that was incredible. It was like a trip to all the directions of the medicine wheel. So you go to the north, you do practices and healings that are associated with the north.
Okay.
She's an incredible healer. So that was with a group of folks, you know, signed up for that. And now like people were saying like, oh my gosh, you should do this. You should do this. You should do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to be very discerning at that point because now I had a lot of this information coming in. And so when a friend had a session with an SRT worker, she said, hey, this was really cool. I think you would dig this. And so I called that person. I had a session with them. I had no idea what was going on. I took all kinds of notes. And so this woman had a pendulum and a set of charts, and she just was finding all this stuff that made no sense to me whatsoever. And, but afterwards I was like, oh, that was cool. I like it. And
yeah,
I had my sister do it and my mom do it. And I noticed a really significant shift with my mom after she did it. I was like, okay, this is the real deal. And it just kept coming back to me. I kept thinking about it. Like, I know I'm supposed to be doing something.
Yeah.
So I read Clear Home, Clear Heart by Jean Haner.
Okay.
And that is a way to do clearings with a pendulum.
Uh-huh.
And that resonated with me. I did that for a little while, but I just kept coming back to this SRT practitioner. So I got in touch with her and said, hey, I'm interested in learning how to do this. And she said, I'm really happy to hear that because I've been getting that message too. Here's my instructor's name. And so I reached out to her instructor, this amazing lady named Jan Harris, who I adore.
Cool.
And she's the best. And she said, oh my God, holy shit. I did not want to teach another class, but I told myself if I got a third person within, you know, so many days, I would do this one last class and
you're
the third person. And so I was the last class that she taught. I was in the last class that she taught. And I am so grateful for this woman. I just adore her. And that's what led me down the SRT path.
That's beautiful.
To learning it. Yeah.
I love that. You got in right before the door closed.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So I guess you're going to have to be the teacher now. Okay. So I did a little preliminary research. When I had a session with you recently, which we will touch on, I asked you what the correlation between emotion code and SRT is, because I months back had an emotion code session and then started practicing it myself. And basically the premise is, you basically access your higher self and unlock what are called trapped emotions in emotion code. And you use either muscle testing or a pendulum. And then, so when my dear sister was fortunate enough to meet you and have a session with you, she said, "Oh my God, I met this woman, Dana. She's amazing." And I had this session with her and I felt like I was walking on light for days. You have to do this. I didn't really understand what your sessions were like, but when we got in the session, I was like, hey, this seems kind of familiar, but like a way more complex version of emotion code. And I tried to do some preliminary research on SRT. And I think this is like a really funny little description, because it kind of like does not suspend disbelief in its description. So it says, Robert E. Detzler, 1926 to 2013, developed spiritual response therapy, SRT, in 1988. SRT is a spiritual healing technique that aims to remove blocks and interferences in the subconscious that prevent people from living fulfilled lives. It involves researching the subconscious mind and soul records to discover and release hidden blocks to health, happiness, and spiritual growth. SRT is based on the occult arts of channeling and relies on dowsing and the belief of reincarnation to effect the alleged clearings.
Oh, dear.
How does that resonate with you?
Well,
I was like, who wrote this?
Who wrote that? Yeah, where did that come from?
You know, the internet.
Yeah, the internet.
They got everything.
I mean, how does that resonate with me? That feels like it touches on the surface,
yeah,
level of what SRT does. But I, as with all energetic work, as the universe and consciousness expands, so does the work. And so it feels bigger and deeper than that to me.
Yes.
And for me.
So what is it?
So
how does it work?
Yeah. Spiritual response therapy. Gosh, that's such a good question. One of the things I say to people is, I don't know how the energy gets from the substation to my house, but I know that my lights turn on.
Right.
And, you know, if lightning strikes and I can see that a pole is down, I know where there's a block and why I'm not getting the energy that I need, but I still don't really understand how it works. So the way I view it is, right, we are energetic light beings and we live many, many lifetimes, and we may be living concurrent lifetimes in parallel realms. And obviously we have past lives and then we have future lives. And so we bring in coding from those other lives and beliefs and perceptions and judgments and blocks and interferences for any number of reasons, much like I brought in, you know, that dark man was attached to me for how long, who knows why, but that impacted my life significantly. And when he was removed, much like the other things that we bring in with us, once they're removed, cleared and released, we can open up pathways for our energy to move better and for our lives to be improved. And so SRT is a way to do that. It is a tool. You know, I am not a, my guide is like, you are a healer. Don't say you're not a healer.
Oh, I love that your guide's disagreeing with you.
Yeah, she, I have this very bossy guide name. I call her Mama Cass. She's very insistent.
Yeah.
I am a conduit for healing. And I feel humbled and honored and grateful to be able to provide a safe place, a container for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it's because we're tapping into something greater.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, Dana, I have to say, in even if I just look at the healings and activations and energy work that I have had simply in the past year, that session with you last Saturday created the most profound and noticeable movement in energy, not only like palpable, you know, movement and energy not only within the session, but the ramifications of what we touched on during the session and how it unfolded immediately after in my life was so profound and so intense. And it lasted for days, and I'm sure it will continue to unfold. But I have to say, you got something.
Oh my gosh.
It was amazing. And I'm always saying, like, huh, I don't know. I think, like, oftentimes when someone is doing their work and creating a container for the recipient, it is a really amazing side effect that the client or patient or recipient also gets tapped in. And it was kind of like you create the container of energy. And as you're working, I'm just getting like, boop, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know, even though you might not know because you don't know my lived experience, you would be picking up on things. Like, for example, I don't know what the word that you used was, but it was like animal problem or something like that. Do you remember?
Yeah. You know, I can't keep track of all the information.
No, how could you possibly?
But it was something about animal energy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like animal energy or something. And I instantly knew because this same phrase came up twice in your process. And I was like, I know what that is. That's a trauma from when I was 5 with a dog bite that I'm not currently thinking about. And it has to do with my dog right now. And I'm just trying to sort of highlight that magic that as a recipient, I also was getting a bunch of downloads just by partaking in your work, right? So that's like so cool.
Whoa. Well, thank you for sharing and telling me all that. I mean, during the sessions, I'm often like, I have no idea if this means anything to this person.
Really?
Or if they are getting anything out of this. I only know that I have to remain, you know, I have to release any attachment and bring myself into neutrality and remain connected and holding this space in this container for what your high self and your spirit and my high self and my spirit, who are connected, you know, in the light realm, in the light body, for what they want to bring through and do for you, because it's your energy, it's your high self who is leading the work. And I will catch myself, you know, getting into ego and being like, really, what does that mean? Do I need to know what you heard me ask those questions? Like, really?
You were like,
and then I'm like, give me a spiritual kick and get me out of my own way. Get my ego out of the room, because I'm just here as a tool to help, to facilitate. And so I'm so glad you said that, because other than what you shared with me about this like really significant situation that happened with you, like you didn't share that with me when we were in session. So it's incredibly validating to know that it's happening. I mean, I'm always questioning myself when I'm in it, but then I get this incredible feedback later. And I've had repeat, you know, clients come back who I see they're transformed. And
yeah,
it's incredible to me. I'm so grateful to be able to do it.
Well, someday I want this podcast to be about you and your work, because I really want to share how impactful it is. And someday, maybe when Claire is back on, I will get to tell, and when we're just jabbering, I'm going to tell the story of what unfolded, because it was so powerful. And, you know, when I was in your container, tons of psychic shit happened. So I want to know, as you started engaging in this work, did your psychic skills grow? Like, one of my questions is, I know that you heavily rely on a pendulum in this practice, but at a certain point, are you really just connected and, or how much are you relying on the pendulum and how much are you getting messages from spirit?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I mean, I think whenever anyone starts this kind of work, you're constantly questioning what you're getting and whether it's, you know, quote unquote, real or true, or because if you're coming from a place of integrity and discernment and wanting what's the best thing for everyone, that's what you should be doing, right? So the beautiful thing about this work is that the more you do, like when I facilitate a clearing for someone, I get a clearing. And I think that's true of any energy worker or light worker. And as we clear ourselves, we clear the consciousness of the collective. And so the we clear, the more we raise the frequency of everyone. And so, of course, the more I do that, the more I clear other people, the more I clear myself, the more of an open channel I am to receiving messages.
Yeah.
And so over time, another thing is that I'm getting these bodily sensations. And so I have a better understanding, and I'm still discerning what those mean, right? Like I've started having this weird thing in the back of my head in this very specific place when I ask these certain questions. I'm like, I'm not sure what that means yet, but I know it means something. I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
But I get goosebumps in certain parts of my body.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to really clearly hear. And for me, my clairs, I've always had them.
Yeah.
But now I've stopped questioning them. And so I see, but it's a mind's eye kind of a thing. It's like, I don't see a movie projected inside my head, but I know things. I just know things.
Yeah.
And I can't explain that to people, but I don't question it like I used to. Also, I've cleared away the things that maybe were giving me mixed messages. And that's part of the work of being a light worker, is you have to get the muck out of the way in order to be able to receive clear messages from source, because there's all kinds of stuff that wants to block that.
Yeah.
So yes, it has increased my psychic ability. Yeah. And then there are people who are like, oh, anybody can move a pendulum. And sometimes I do feel like something is moving my hand.
Well, but in our session, you were like, something is moving my hand. You said that multiple times.
Yeah. And sometimes something knocks it out off, like it won't give me a clear answer. And then there's a being or program that needs to be cleared that might be blocking.
Yeah, there was a lot of activity. But so, yeah, SRT seems, I did try to like research the connection. I almost feel like emotion code. And, you know, if I'm wrong, sue me. I feel like emotion code was just like the less complicated version of SRT. But now I'm deeply interested in SRT because that work with you blasted me into another dimension. Like I've honestly, I mean, I know I've been on the precipice of this, but I've just been download city since we met. And now I just want to book another session. I'm like, we got to clear some more stuff, but am I ready to cry for two more days?
Oh, yes. My goodness. Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing. Oh. It's so powerful.
It is very powerful. I'm very grateful. For a while, when I was trading sessions with some other energy workers for a while. And in the beginning, I was referring people to other practitioners, like, oh, you might benefit from a shamanic practitioner for this particular thing. But I touched base with Jan, my mentor instructor, and she was like, what are you doing? The shamanic practitioners in my area refer their hard cases to me. Like, you have the capability because you're dealing with, you know, a consciousness that is far out in new paradigm and a source consciousness that is. And that's not to compare or say that it's better than anything at all. I'm not saying that at all. But yes, it's incredibly powerful. And it's deep and broad. And it has breadth and depth that I'm still plumbing, you know, and still exploring and still learning.
How long have you been doing it, practicing SRT?
So I started learning it in 2020. So not very long. You know, I feel like I'm brand new at this. I mean, I put my website up a little over a year ago. I've been practicing it on friends and family for a long time, but it is a whole different deal going from working on friends and family who know you, who you have history with, who have preconceived notions about you, to working with strangers, A, and now I'm working with mostly light workers, energy workers.
Yeah. Well, guess what? There's one thing that I've observed through this whole research. It's that, well, time is a construct, and the amount of time that you've been doing this doesn't matter. It's more about intention and energy, and you fucking blasted me out of the water. So it does not matter. There were a couple of things that came up in our session that I want to talk to you about. To share information. So there was one point when you brought up a soul fragment.
Mm.
And I'm assuming that, speak freely, but like, I don't care what you divulge, but I'm assuming that that is a part of something that you learned in SRT. Can you talk about what a soul fragment is and what happens in order for you to have the understanding that one wants to return? I'm assuming this has happened in other sessions.
Indeed.
Okay.
Especially with light workers and energy healers. So soul fragment is something that I added to my main, the first chart that I go to see where, how I get directed to do the clearing. And it's because so many people are healing themselves and raising their frequency to such a degree that soul fragments are ready to come back to their person, to their being, to their energetic body. So I don't know a single person out there who doesn't have soul fragments, because we all have traumatic experiences from our childhood. And so an example of one from my childhood, when I was 10 years old, I was in a race with Candy and Randy Peterson going down a great big hill near where I live. Candy and Randy, they were awesome. And we were racing down the hill, and I don't know what happened, but I ended up hitting a giant rock with my bike and like stopping on a dime. And my bike, you know, the front wheel kept moving, and I went up over my handlebars and I smashed my face on the road, and I had road rash. I still have scars on all my knuckles and everywhere. Ugh. And I passed out in the road, and this lovely person came up over the hill, and they rode back up and they picked me up. He picked me up and put me on Randy's lap in his truck and drove me home, and like knocked on the door, and there my mom opened the door to lay her bloody daughter, who she did not recognize, in this man's arms. So I'm fine. I have my fun scars from it. I broke my nose, and oh, I had road rash, horrible road rash for a long time. When that happened, a piece of my soul split off to protect me in that moment so that I would not have to feel all of the things, right? And that piece of my soul stayed in that location until I did a journey to go find any soul fragments that might be out there waiting to come home. So we all have soul fragments because we've all had traumatic experiences from our childhood where we need to disassociate from our body.
Yeah.
When I get directed to soul fragment, I know that like there's a little young piece of this person who's ready to come home, and I feel it. Like it makes me really emotional.
Yeah.
I'm really emotional talking about it, right? Like,
yeah.
Shit. Please hold.
Okay, we always cry on here.
It's what's getting psychic if you're not crying?
It's so true.
You're not doing it right. If you're not crying, yeah. Getting psychic, you're not doing it right.
You're doing it wrong. Keep trying.
So when I get soul fragment, I know that there is an inner child piece of this person's being that is ready to return home to that person because they see the work that's being done and they feel safe enough to come back.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a profound, profound experience for many of the people that I work with who, you know, you don't realize that piece is missing until it's reintegrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, having just received a huge chunk of my soul back, like I got torn up, like it is no joke, but I would not return it for anything. It was amazing. Incredible.
So I'm so happy. I'm so happy for you.
If you want the chunks of yourself that are missing, please make an appointment with Dana. Because if you're doing the work and they're ready to come back, she will find them. Because, oh my God, I can't say enough about how crazy and wonderful it was. But okay, so I just keep thinking when you're saying, like, you know, there's like your soul fragment was like on the street where you've crushed your face. I was just thinking, like, we're walking around just like tripping on people's soul fragments all the time.
Well,
yeah. Where did I leave that?
Where did I leave that piece of my soul? Where are my keys? Where's that 10-year-old piece?
Yeah. But the good news is, like, you don't actually have to go to the location. You can call it back with help.
How do you feel? Like, you're fresh off of that, honey. I mean, you know, how are you doing?
Well, this is your interview. No, just kidding. No, I'm doing great. I spent 3 days feeling like, the events that happened after your reading that were directly related to what we talked about unfolded in the most psychotic way imaginable. And I promise I will talk about it on the podcast sometime. But, you know, I spent the whole entire rest of that day sobbing, but I needed to do that. I needed to mourn. I don't know what I was doing. I was like actually processing the trauma that made the soul fragment go away, welcoming her back and processing it and integrating all of this new energy. And I knew that I had to allow myself to keep releasing.
Yeah.
And then for 3 days, I felt like I was sort of just kind of, I felt extra energy moving. I felt like hazy. Like there was a subtle lack of clarity, or like I took like a little bit more than a microdose of mushrooms accidentally. Yeah. That's what I felt like. I was like, is everything a play? But I promise you, when you get your reading with Dana, you will not necessarily be sobbing for the rest of the day.
Oh. No, you took the master class on processing there.
Yeah, you just get what you need, I think.
Right, right. Your soul would not overwhelm you if you were not ready for it. You showed up ready to do that work. That was all you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But so another thing that came up in this reading that I thought was interesting was that you mentioned Saint
Germain.
Germain?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned Saint Germain. And I said, oh, this is weird. I'm having this experience that I can't describe, but it's like I taste him.
Yeah, remember that?
So I was trying to explain to you that I was having this weird sense because you had, you know, I was in the container and I was having all of these experiences. So I'm like pointing in my mouth to the middle of my head at the back of my throat. I'm like, I feel him. He's blue and he's in my head. And you're like, oh, that's.
I don't remember exactly because in the moment, right, I'm sensing and tapped into you, but and we're not there right now. But I remember saying something like, oh, it's around your pineal gland in the cave of Brahma,
yeah.
Right in that center. The core of where all the magical activations happen.
Okay.
Something like that.
I've heard about the cave of Brahma before, but what is it?
I don't know. It just came to me in that moment. Like that information was delivered to me. So let's see.
Okay, let's find out then.
The cave of Brahma located in the brain is the center of vision, capital V, both what we see with our eyesight and in our mind's eye. Oh.
Boom.
It is located in the third ventricle of the brain. The cave of Brahma is referred to in the Sanskrit text as the seat of resonance with the one ocean of cosmic vibrations.
Okay, there we were. Okay, well, that makes it even more cool because I was having these experiences in session with you and you were like, oh, that's this. And now you're like, I don't know what that is. But when you said it, I thought, yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought you knew what it was. Yeah. I was like, I don't know.
But guess who did know? Our team. So.
Oh, good.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm excited.
That's what we were doing. So, okay, that's super cool.
Right on.
Okay, so I asked you earlier about, like, I know that it's kind of like a pendulum reliant practice, but at a certain point, do you feel like you need the pendulum or do you utilize other stuff?
I use the pendulum the whole time I'm doing the clearing, but there are times where I very clearly hear the answer before it's confirmed with the pendulum, or I know where it's headed, or I'm being told a lot of information, even though I'm only asking one question. So I use the pendulum the whole time though.
So have you ever tried it without? I'm just curious.
No. I mean, there's doubt, right? There's always doubt. I'm a healthy skeptic.
Yeah.
I went into this and, you know, I was like, what the hell is this? I don't know what's going on here. Is this bullshit? Like, but I know that I'm receiving all kinds of downloads myself. I mean, in the last month or so, I'm sleeping at night, but I'm very, very busy and I'm exhausted and I'm here for it. But I'm being downloaded with so much information right now. And I know anyway, that's.
No, I get it. I'm hearing that a lot lately. So I was like looking at your website and I see that like it says SRT helped me and my clients transmute trauma and ancestral wounds, release fear and limiting behaviors, dissolve rage and shame, reconnect to source, embrace transitions, process grief, and gain clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, even though my response was so insane, I cannot wait to do it again. Because it was so cool. So if anyone's looking for any of those things, definitely call Dana.
Thank you so much.
Okay, what else do we need to talk about? I mean, we're gonna wind it down, but I feel like there's some more things that we need to touch on.
Well, I think it's really, really fascinating that, or was it a year ago you went to Costa Rica for the plant ceremony thing with Judea Lynch and that group of folks.
Mm-hmm. I met all my soul sisters.
You met all your spirit soul sisters. And I was supposed to be on that trip.
Dude, so weird.
Yeah. But then this whole situation unfolded where we needed to move. And I was like, ugh, screw it. I can't go on that trip right now. Like,
were you close to going on it?
Yeah. I mean, I was ready to pull the trigger.
Wow.
And then this move unfolded. And also I was like really trying to talk myself out of it. Cause I was like, I don't want to go travel with a bunch of people I don't know. Like,
why would anyone in their right mind do that?
Go to the middle of the rainforest, potentially shit their pants.
I felt the same way.
I'm not going to know any of these people. I'm super highly sensitive, introverted. Like, this is not my jam. I am not looking for new friends. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And the universe is skipping like, you go, you go, you go, you go.
Same.
And Mama Cass was like, get your ass to Costa Rica, bitch. And then boom, the universe was like, nope, you're moving instead. And I was like, okay, cool. I don't want to move, but now I'm not going to Costa Rica. And so what was our session on Saturday was like almost a year to the day of that Costa Rica session.
To the day.
What was it really?
Yes. The very next day was a year to the day. But that when I flew there.
So what's fascinating to me is that, you know, the forces at work,
we still found each
conspired
other
to bring us together. And I am 1,000% certain it's because we're supposed to be doing something, this work together. You know, shout out to your sister Elizabeth for, you know, being the conduit here.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's playing her part too. Oh, by the way, speaking of my sister, I don't want to forget to mention this. She is hosting a retreat at the end of May in Florence, Italy. right outside of Florence. It seems like it's going to be a really beautiful week-long spiritual and cultural retreat. And I will link in the show notes. You should totally check it out if you're interested in, I don't know, potentially meeting your light tribe.
Yeah, it looks amazing. You should definitely check it out. She's got her part in this. And like this afternoon, I have a session with Vera Takakura.
She was the interview before last.
Yes. And I've also, you know, somehow ended up having a conversation with Tamara Andrews Pasek like last night. So this is a very interesting conflagration of energies that have conspired to bring this group to me, who I was supposed to join, you know, a year ago for whatever.
So weird.
Whatever's coming next.
Yeah, I know. It is wild. The synchronicities are shocking, and it's super, it's very strange because honestly, we just met. We met on Saturday.
You and I, yeah, 4 days ago.
Yes. And I feel like that's impossible.
Yeah.
Because I've known you forever. And yeah, I can't. No, I can't. I refuse to believe that we just met on Saturday. It doesn't make any sense.
We've done this before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically last minute, like Claire wasn't able to record. Mm-hmm. So I just was in a conversation with you and I said, Dana? I mean, I knew that from the second that I heard about you, I knew that you would have to be a guest on the podcast. I just didn't know that it would be immediately. So thank you for being so gracious. And I'm so stoked that I got to learn all this cool new stuff about you. Oh, what's your day job? At this point, I find that to be interesting because we'd all kind of rather be
elsewhere.
And so I'm always like, what's your day job? Because it's really like that.
Yeah. So I work for a university foundation. So the fundraising arm of the university nearby. I've been there 25 years. I've done many, many things. I am a jack of all, master of none.
Except for SRT, baby.
Well, I've carved out many niches. And so now I'm a senior project manager. I work on ways to say thank you to the incredible, generous supporters of the university.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. I'm very lucky. I'm very grateful. I'm an old timer. So,
okay. So how do you, you know, we all have careers because we need to support ourselves, but like, how do you strike a balance between this work that you do healing or helping people heal and your full-time job at a university?
Yeah, I'm figuring that out. I'm figuring that out as we speak. Yeah. I mean, I'm a dedicated, you know, responsible person who I feel very, very grateful for the opportunities that I have to do the work that I get to do.
Yeah.
And so I can compartmentalize and
totally
keep those separate. But I mean, people I work with, you know, they'll come up to me like, oh, Mama Dana, what's going on with Mercury? What's going on with the moon?
Really?
Why are my kids not sleeping? Well, you know, I'm that person in-house. I'm the in-house witch.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are stones on my desk and feathers and all the things. So people know that I'm a little bit woo, even in the 3D world.
Yeah.
And I don't talk that. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I mean, some people feel unsafe opening up about that. So I'm glad that you don't feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't talk about SRT work while I'm at work. There are people who know that I do it. I've shared my website. I've done a couple of clearings here and there, mostly for people's kids who are having some struggles.
Right.
But yeah, I don't hide what I am, but I don't broadcast it either. Those who are meant to find me will find me.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I know I was talking to my friend recently about how healing work, like how you grow your practice as a healer. Do you find that it's primarily word of mouth?
Yeah, it's just do the work. And the people who are meant to find you will find you. And I prefer it that way.
Right. You're not marketing.
No, not at all. I want there to be an energetic connection and I want it to feel right. And my website is ambiguous. And that's also a little bit by design because I want people to feel like, oh, I resonate with this. This calls to me. And
right.
For some, it won't. You know, we can't all be for everyone. Not everyone likes a peach, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
So no, the right people who, the people who are meant to find me will find me. And yeah. I look forward to encountering them. It's been really beautiful. I just feel so blessed and grateful.
Yeah.
And lucky.
Me too.
Yeah.
I am in just a freaking deep well of gratitude for a long time now. And it's a good spot to be.
It's a beautiful place to be.
So I know for certain that there are going to be people listening right now who are like, oh boy, I don't know why I got to meet this person. So you're welcome, strangers.
Well, I look forward to meeting whoever feels the call. And I thank you so much. This has been fun, a lot more fun than I thought it would be. I was a little bit terrified, so.
Well, you were slightly shitting your pants, but.
We just a little, only a little. I mean, we don't know each other. It was like, oh.
Yeah, no, it's just a chat, but.
It's just a chat.
Yeah, so thank you so much for your time. And honestly, I am going to be booking my next session with you as soon as possible because it was amazing. And I can't wait to hear more about how your work unfolds. And thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Yeah, you're very welcome. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. And I'm very thankful to make this connection. And I look forward to whatever unfolds as a result of it. This feels very important and destined. And I'm here for it.
Big time. Big time.
Yay! Big time.
Okay. Thank you, Dana.
You're welcome, Sookie. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation as much as we did. Be sure to subscribe and follow us wherever you get your podcast so that you never miss a new episode. If you like today's episode, please consider leaving a review to help the other psychics find their way here.